quite a crowd here for a Monday morning. Thank you very much for joining this celebration. In part, of course, celebrating my 24th anniversary, but also we're celebrating Easter. This is the second part of Easter. You know, the first part is the octave, which ended yesterday. And then the second part is between the octave and the ascension. So this is the longer part of Easter. That's why the gospel today no longer goes to the resurrection appearances of Jesus. Now we go back to the beginning of John's gospel and this conversation Jesus has with Nicodemus. So all of last week during the octave, we were focusing on resurrection appearances and trying to get a handle on this extraordinary change that has taken place, that now there's the victory of life over death. Well, that adjustment to the new state of affairs continues, but we do it by reflecting on what Jesus revealed during his public ministry. Because after all, even though we know Jesus is alive, he's risen, hallelujah, it still doesn't sink in completely, or not all the time. We're not always operating with full consciousness of how different everything is because of the resurrection. Sometimes you might have a grace of brilliant insight, like St. Thomas did yesterday. He went from doubting to believing because he saw, and Jesus said, well, more blessed if you don't see and you make this shift to believing. Isn't it striking that from yesterday, where we focused on Thomas, who went from doubting to believing, we turn today to Nicodemus, who's in this process of going from doubting to believing, or at least wrestling with the mysteries of faith. Nicodemus, he's an interesting figure. He shows up here, John chapter 3, in this conversation with Jesus. He initiates it. He goes to Jesus. He goes at night. Usually that's interpreted to mean he didn't want anyone to see what he was doing, but it's also symbolic of his spiritual condition. He's in darkness. He can't figure it out. He can't see, not very well. So he shows up here, John chapter 3, then he disappears. We don't know exactly how much he got out of this profound revelation about being born from above. Then he shows up again in John chapter 7 when the Sanhedrin and the high priests and Pharisees are talking about what to do with Jesus, and Nicodemus says, well, you can't just assume he's guilty without a trial. And then they all attack him for being a Galilean. And then he disappears again. And then he shows up after Jesus dies on the cross to participate in the burial. And then he disappears again. So we don't really know that much about how far along the process of faith Nicodemus went. But it seems that he at least persevered. He at least kept searching. Maybe he couldn't be as bold as Thomas and say, my Lord and my God, not right away, but he shows up through the whole journey, and he's there to give Jesus a respectful burial. Was he there on Easter Day? We don't know. Anyway, let's look at what Jesus tells him today, because we're all in this, on this continuum between doubting and believing, or between saying, I refuse to believe, like Thomas did, and saying, my Lord and my God, like Thomas did. We're probably something more like Nicodemus. Well, we know God's doing something here. We know God is at work here. We know you come from God. But how does this all work? Since we're celebrating my anniversary, I mean, the priesthood is always in the midst of this. How does this really work? How do you take an ordinary guy and then give him this sacrament of holy orders and then think that God will work through him? He's still the same person, but he has this new grace, and so now he can actually be the instrument of sacraments. So God is the one who works in the sacraments, but he uses the minister. Very mysterious. This combination of what Jesus calls what's born of flesh and what's born of spirit. Combination of what's human, what's purely human, and what is divine, what comes from God, God at work in the human situation. We're all dealing with this all the time, not only priests, but it's more obvious with priests, because priests are so human, and yet they are also so divine. The what we receive from their hands is so divine that you say, this is no way a man can do this. There's no way a man can transform bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. No way. Only God can do that. But he does it through the priest. So, but we're all in this, I say, this continuum between being purely human, or being living only according to the flesh, what's born of flesh is flesh, and being born from above, which we're all born from above by baptism, but we're not always fully aware or fully participating in that risen life. So something like Nicodemus at night. Now here it's morning, it's bright sunny morning, but we're still wrestling with what comes from us and what comes from God and what God is doing in ordinary human life. It's constant. Yesterday, I'll just share another trivial example. I went to a mass in the morning. It was a Divine Mercy Sunday. It was the octave of Easter, a beautiful Sunday morning. So I drive to the location, the chapel where the mass was, and there were some people on the side of the road holding babies in the sunshine. A very beautiful little scene of the babies. So I rolled down the window to greet the babies, and the window got stuck. So it was half up and half down, and I couldn't move it. And then I parked, and I said, well, now I have to go see Mass. I can't just leave the window open on the car. But I couldn't do anything about it. So I was stuck there, trying to move the window and trying to get it to... So it was broken. Well, I said, what do I do now? I have to say Mass. I have to move from the most trivial, ordinary detail to something that's the most lofty. I mean, it was Divine Mercy Sunday. It was Easter. It was a celebration of just a massive proportion of oceans of mercy and grace available to the people. And here I am thinking about the broken window. Well, the guy who was helping me park the car said, it's not going to rain anyway. Well, I'm ulam. So I said, oh, he's right. Yeah, it's not going to rain. So I don't have to worry about the car. Just put it aside, go on, and off of the mass. No, why do I say that? Because it's a combination of human and divine, right? It's time for Mass on Divine Mercy Sunday, and I have a broken window. I don't know why God did that. I don't know why. Maybe no one knows. And there's things like this all the time. The other day, my shoelace broke right before Mass. I could have put on my shoe. Well, so what? Go say the Mass. I have to wear something. So, again, if you multiply these things, and so can you. What happened between the time you woke up this morning and the time you're sitting in this sacred chapel? Well, whatever, there was no rice, or the kids were complaining, or someone was, making noise outside your door, or some practical thing. Or you got into an argument with your husband or your wife. It happens all the time. And yet, God is in the midst of this. God works in the ordinary human situation. This is the whole revelation of Jesus Christ. He's God and man. He enters fully into the human experience, but he plants in the human experience the risen life. And this is what he's trying to explain to Nicodemus. Okay, Nicodemus, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is saying, what are you talking about? First of all, this word, this Greek word for from above can also be translated again, born again. So he says, Jesus says, be born from above, and Nicodemus says, well, how can you be born again? It's the same Greek word. And Jesus says it again, amen, amen, I say to you. Amen, amen, in biblical language means, this is really important. Wake up and take notice. Amen, amen means, I'm serious about this one. Unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He's telling something, in Nicodemus, something really important about the spiritual life, but it's connected to water. Something so ordinary that we don't even pay attention to it. God at work in the water. The Holy Spirit, whom we cannot see, blowing like wind. Well, we can't see wind either, but we can feel it. It's a natural force. There's both what is born of flesh and what is born of spirit, both. And that's the situation we all live in. Okay, since it's the celebration, we're celebrating the anniversary of ordination of a priest. So this is what's going on here. God entering into ordinary human circumstances and working in powerful ways at the same time that ordinary things are going on. Electricity, it's a hot day, you know, what are you going to have for breakfast, and all this sort of thing. At the same time that God is giving himself in the Eucharist, God is speaking to us in his word at the same time. Today's first reading is a continuation that we heard from last week of Peter and John, who were arrested along with the healed man, and the authorities told them, no, just don't mention that name anymore. Don't talk about that Jesus anymore. Just get out of here. So they left with warnings that were empty threats, and they come back to the community, the church, and they start to reflect on what's going on here. Well, and if you ponder this reading, you see, what they realize is that God was at work all along. God knew that the Gentiles and the peoples would be conspiring, and the kings of the earth and the princes would be gathered together against the Lord and his anointed. It's right in the Psalms. And just like it happened, Herod, Pilate, the Romans, the Jewish authorities, they all conspired against the Lord and his anointed, and they tried to defeat him, and they got defeated. And this same thing happened to us, Peter and John. The same thing happened. Here they're out to stop us, and they let us go. So in the middle of the practicalities of dealing with political factions and squabbles in the church and disagreements in the community, and in the midst of having to deal with all kinds of practical matters as well, God is at work. God is at work. So they say, Lord, help us to remain faithful. Help us to proclaim this truth with all boldness. And it says here at the end, as they prayed, the place where they were gathered shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you feel shaken, but this place is filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who, like the wind, blows where he wills and does what he wills, and is effective in people who are willing to be blown, willing to be moved by faith. Those who are not chained only to what they can do by flesh, but are willing to be moved by the Spirit. That's the call of every Christian, everyone with Easter faith, to be blown by the Holy Spirit, who can do much more than any of us can do. Okay, one last reflection on this business of human and divine and ordinary and extraordinary. We're in the period with no pope. And if you follow the media, secular media, you're going to hear again and again, this faction, this position, that position, this candidate, and everybody has their speculation. And okay, it's almost like a game, like who's gonna win the playoffs, like the NBA. But no, there are human dynamics. The funny thing here is, some of it's true. There are political factions. There are disagreements about how things should be. There are favorite candidates. Sure, because that's where God works in the human dynamics. But there's also the Holy Spirit blowing where he will. And the press won't talk about that because they don't know what to say. They don't even know about it. But we should know God is in charge in the midst of the chaos and the mess of human affairs. God is in charge. So it doesn't matter if there are squabbles among the cardinals. Of course there are. They're human. But that's not what determines what happens. God is the one who determines it. That's why this period of time, it's important for us to pray. Not for us simply to speculate and gamble on who's going to be the winner, but to pray. Pray that by the power of the Spirit, the right man will be chosen to be the next pope. That's our part in this human divine mystery. Okay, so just some examples. Help us celebrate the The wonder of Easter, that the power of the risen life, is with us now. We belong to this kingdom which we cannot see with our eyes, but which we can see with eyes of faith.